Tidbits pod number 45. Well, Tidbits pod number 45. Tidbits pod number 45. Yep, this is Tidbits pod number 45. Howdy chums, that little clunkety kerfuffle there you just heard is Sarge the Roundabout, and yeah, I hope I find you in fine fettle. This is, well, at the time of recording, is the 17th of January, also known as Blue Monday, supposedly the saddest day of the year, which I've only mentioned because now I can name this episode Blue Monday and confuse some New Order fans on Spotify or whatever. Or actually, because it's the 17th, I could call it 17 days. Brackets into Jan, not as good, but yeah, another belter of a song though. 17 Days, which as you know is Prince on the B-side of When Doves Cry. So yeah, if you haven't heard it, I challenge you, you're gonna put that on, and then, well, after the initial sort of little guitar flourish, when that first bass kicks in, whew, holy shit, you're going to try and listen to that and then not have it change the way that you're walking? Impossible. And, oh yeah, right, to the new listener, my name is Jack Tidball. Welcome aboard to Tidbits Pod, as mentioned last time. It's nice to introduce myself, and maybe I can do it, well, in a way partly inspired by David Seaman on Seaman Says. I mean, the last one I should probably take his idea. I should like unintentionally get it wrong. I don't know if it was on purpose, but the way that it was just fluid, right? So, I mean, David Seaman, of course, best known as the legendary host of Goalkeeping Tips / Blunder DVD, released, maybe about 20 years ago. It was called Jeepers Keepers. Yeah, that's the sort of primary reference point for Dave. But also, of course, big advocate of the ponytail. You might have seen him on the catwalks and such. But yeah, little known fact as well, he also used to play football. He was a, well, he played in goal for Arsenal and the English men's international team as well. And so yeah, like I said, he's got this podcast, and well, it started off bold as brass. He sort of goes like, "I've been over here, guys, and welcome back to Stephen Says," and just carried on. Stephen Says. I mean, Stephen, come on, Dave. It's the first thing on the show. It's like, surely just have another run at it, but. No, he just kept on. That'll do, Stephen Says. So that's what it is. Why not just get it slightly wrong? But yeah, so welcome aboard to Shitbits Pod. My name is Jack Turdball, and thanks for making the journey. You know, tuning in the dial. Lovely to see you here. Look a bit flustered from the journey. Settle down. You know, relax. There's a hook over there for your hat. And your coat, and yep, you can keep your shoes on, but if they're bemudded, you know, just be a dear, and yeah, just kick the worst of it off on that mat over there. That would be lovely. And house rules, yeah, if you're a smoker or a vapist, yeah, just please use the patio area in the back. But other than that, enjoy, have a lovely time. And yeah, fucking hell, January. And so far, it's been very good. And the last recording was in January as well, wasn't it? But it was more focused on kind of Gooch festivities. And I think I've been more festive since. Like, I've had the festivity jubilation equivalent of, like, when you buy an advent calendar, but after Christmas has been, so then you can just pull out the tray and just chow down on the whole thing. That's how my January's been so far. Like, I don't know, have you ever done that? Just me? Not really a reference, but yeah, anyway, my January so far, festivity wise, is so New Year's Day, yeah, I had a stroll with mate Robbie D, aka Robbie Davro, friend of the show, and we ended up in the White Lion in Warnham Green, and yeah, made a new version of Connect Four with dice and shit, which is a class game, but we don't have a name for it yet. That was cool. And then, yeah, a few days later, I can't remember the timeline, but I went to Beulah Hill with mate Elf, aka Dunk the Hunk, and the powerfully named The Conquering Hero. And that's the pub's name, not one of Elf's, another one of his AKAs. But yeah, special thing about that pub is it's got a pig living in it. A pig called Francis Bacon. And that was class. It's a pretty intimidating little pub, but the staff were nice, and yeah, I was right, because I'm a bit of a fucking goozer, aren't I? So yeah, that was cool. And then I had a catch up with uni mates. Yeah, the middle point for us now is Croydon, so we went to the Green Dragon, which is always good. They've changed their pizzas, bit annoying, but whatever, it doesn't matter, in good company and whatnot. But yeah, oh yeah, caught up with a few people from my old work, and that was nice. Twice actually, like the first time, oh, fucking hell, the first time, I went to a place called Parsons Green in London town, right? And it was nice, very nice, but oh yeah, like it was the one lad going back to Canada the next day, so me and him, we decided to stay on for a bit, just for a few extra pints or whatever, and we got chatting to this guy, and he just kind of rolled over to us, and he said that he was an Oxford professor or a scientist or, you know, something like that. Unbearable guy. And but he was buying, so we were like, yeah, fuck it, let's see what he's got to say for himself. And he started going on about this theory for interstellar travel, and yeah, like how if you can remove mass from the picture, then interstellar travel is a piece of cake. It's like, you know, something like that. Just mad dude. And he had this weird sort of like recoil thing as well, where like every now and again he'd sort of contort in pain, like he'd go quiet and sort of tense up into a question mark, like he was, or like he's sort of possessed or something. Which, well, I can't say it was funny at the time, but looking back at it, it was pretty fucking funny. He'd sort of, you know, be chatting away, like, yeah, remove mass from the equation and we can get to a star in minutes. Sort of like the Wheatos guy, but in a little frail body. And yeah, and then he's all stopped. Don't worry, I've got methods to control my pain. And so what the hell is going on? And yeah, it was kind of like he was turning into a werewolf in a sort of poorly funded film. Like, yeah, see that? Gets closer and says, "What's happening to me?" And his sort of hands stretching and his face is contorting. Was mad. But yeah, that's been my January so far. It's been fun. But, I mean, now I've got to lie low sort of until the end of the month, recharge the batteries, get a bit back on the health scale, and that's why I'm on my way now to what I hope will be the first successful gym visit. I mean, I've been a couple of times in early January particularly, but it was like a hive. You open the little snazzy airlock key code door thing and immediately you just get hit with just this smell, like a sort of, you know, like a sweat mixed with whatever chemical they use to try and, you know, get rid of the smell of sweat. So they're just adding a little note, you know, like the sort of the wall of sound, but it's a wall of just it was like a sort of unwanted steam room. Horrible. But yeah, first time I just sort of I got in and then looked around and it just made me sort of just question. I'm just looking at me like, we're all just ants, like on treadmills. So yeah, I did a little loop, was trying to find some machine to use, but gave up, and then went straight back out in the building again. So instead of the gym, I've been doing weighted walks, which, I mean, they hurt a lot, but they're fucking amazing, right? So for Christmas, my brother and sister and their partners, they got me this vest made of weights, which, I mean, to onlookers, it's got a sort of, like, maybe it looks a bit like a bulletproof vest. I mean, to some, it could even look like a terrorist vest. But, yeah, anyway, I stick it on, and then I've just been going up and down the local hill in it, and it's absolute fucking murder, like the weight on your lungs sort of pushing down. But then, like, as soon as you take it off, you feel like you could just jump 10 feet in the air. It's amazing. Like, it's quality. So yeah, I mean, I wonder what the high jump record is, if you sort of put it on a proper high jumper and then, you know, measured them before and after or something. But yeah, speaking of records, I'd say that a more impressive record is, there's one for throwing like heavy frisbees. Discuss. Yeah, I mean, I tried to tweet something like that, the old everyone loves discus humor on Twitter, but didn't really work written down, so that was a shame. But oh yeah, at this time of year, do you feel like the word already is already starting to creep into the conversations? Like, you know, maybe this is an age thing. Maybe this is just the people I've been hanging with. But you sort of get to an age where any reference of time is always followed by the word already. So it'd be like, oh, fucking hell, it's January already. You're like, it's the 17th already. Bloody hell. God, blimey, it's the, is that 10:30 already? Bloody hell. Where's the time going? God, blimey, yeah. What are you gonna do, eh? Oh. But yeah, right, so for the meat of this one, I think I'm just gonna give a couple of recommendations. So because the last episode, as you very much know, was 50 minutes long, so this can be a bit of a palate cleanse, a bit of a, well, like an audio sorbet for you. And well, yeah, so I don't know. So I'll keep it short and sweet, like that sorbet. And yeah, so Steve Martin's book is worth a read, Born Standing Up. That was the last one I read that on the way up Norbury Hill. Finished that on my way to Sea Elf, aka Dunk the Hunk. Bit of context for you. But it's his story, it's Steve Martin's story of his time as a stand-up. But you get little snippets of like his routine and how the act and his sort of persona and his look changed or sort of like developed like through with the times. So the guy, you know, he went all the way from, I think it was from the 60s all the way through, still going. But yeah, it's class. It's got little jokes in there as well, like it was like, it's been proven that Americans watch television way more than any other appliance. The audiobook is where you're going to get it. Like, him actually telling the jokes is going to be always better than reading. And it's got, like, banjo riffs in between the chapters as well. So, it's a lovely little touch. Definitely recommend the audiobook. And, Other Side of the Scale. The one I'm near the end of now, it's called The Phone Box at the Edge of the World, right? Which, despite the subject matter, it's very sort of gentle. Remember I was saying a little while ago that some books you can just sort of stick on 1.1 speed or 1.2 and you're going to save time, but you don't really lose any of the enjoyment, kind of thing. But this one, it's definitely one for normal speed, so you can just sort of sit in it. It's one of them. But recommendations music wise, I've been trying to get into the Beach Boys. So, I mean, before now, I'd only heard Pet Sounds, and then, you know, some of the singles, the surfy singles. But now I'm doing a bit of a Beach Boy Brian Wilson deep dive, so looking forward to that. And if you guys have got any tips or little facts or whatever, then please send them my way. I'm gonna become the Beach Boys guy, I think. Them and Bjork could be the dominating people of the start of my year. But on the other end of the scale again, another little top tip. So for new stuff, look up someone called Lady London. And until last week, the majority of her stuff was just Instagram clips and whatnot. And but last week, you know, a couple of projects have just dropped that I would recommend. There's one that's red, one that's gold in the little thumbnail things. But yeah, like, she's the sort of person that the rest of your mates, normal public, the untidbified people, they're going to be telling you or be sort of raving about her in about a year or so. So get in now and have a lovely time with Lady London. Just a bit of a ledge. And back the other way again on the recommendations pendulum for an oldie. The song You'll Never Walk Alone? It's Jerry and the Pacemakers. It's You'll Never Walk Alone, but as the Everton fans call it, I'd Rather Walk Alone. Like, Aretha Franklin's version of that is fucking beautiful. Like, it's a gospel song, I think. I think it was before or after or whatever. But look up, it's a live recording of her singing it on this, it's on an Amazing Grace is the album name. Just get good headphones, whack them on full whack, and holy shit, that one's a spine tingler. And I was listening to it like, man, if I was religious, like, this would be, I'd be lactating right now or something. This is already at the peak, but if I was sort of drinking in, you know, all the little riffs and that, bloody hell, amazing. So it's like she's singing and you've got people in the back like clapping along and agreeing and shit and sort of like, right on. And you know, it's amazing. Like, so she'd sort of go like, what you gotta do is walk on, that sounds mighty, mighty good right now. Walk on. Like all these little flurries and that. But I mean, I think me trying to describe it to you by, you know, doing my own impression of Aretha Franklin would be like sort of, do you remember back in the day, back when DVD was first coming in, or maybe Blu-ray or whatever, but you're watching on the VHS, and like before your film would start, there were adverts with a montage of like how amazing DVD's gonna look and sound. But I mean, the advert is still playing off of your old shitty telly and your VHS, right? So you just watch those adverts like, well, you know what, like, it's still looks pretty fucking similar to me. Like, that's not really an upgrade. Or like, if the advert, like, if it was slightly clearer, then you'd just be like, well, if the advert can look DVD quality and it looks and sounds this good here in the advert, then why can't the film look this good on VHS? Why would, it's a bit of a swindle. I remember, like, yeah, that's probably a bit niche. That's one for the people in their 30s onwards. But yeah, another one for that niche. Remember the copyright guy? And not the one that's sort of coming back into parlance now, like, you know, that one with the snazzy soundtrack and the clip art font, like ding ding digga digga ding ding digga digga. You wouldn't steal a handbag, ding ding ding. You wouldn't steal a television. I mean, yes, I fucking would. And so, yeah, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the other one with the, it had a sort of a sketchy looking blacksmith guy, and yeah, he had this vest on, and it was just like a, you know, this ominous drone in the back, and like a bit of strings and like a bit of drum, like maybe some sirens and shit behind him. Not too dissimilar, the music, actually, from, you know, like in Mastermind, where they first sit in the chair. It's like dun, 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 like this kind of thing behind the our sweaty blacksmith. And anyway, like, so somehow this lad has just decided to ruin all of these CDs and DVDs and shit by branding them with this Red Hot X or whatever. You're like, you fucking bastard. And you know, the voiceover over the top of it, I'm like ding de de do minute, and over the top it's like, this bastard is a pirate and he's fucking up our publishing industry. Like, yeah, it's also got something to do with terrorists or something. You're a terrorist if you're watching a pirate DVD. And yeah, you don't need the details, but look how sweaty and mental this lad is. Don't be like him. So yeah, and then it cuts back to the guy, sort of like close up of the flames in his eyes, like whoosh, and this, like, you know, he's got machine gun noises in the back, broken glass, like he, you know, we get the picture that this dude's a bit of a wrong'un, right? And then he gets his brand, his little hot poker, and he fucks up some of these blank, what look like ready to copy CDs. There's a cardboard box in there as well, like, and they didn't just, you know, rest on there and then melt or whatever. They really, really exploded into this massive fireball. And I'm just sitting at home like going, yeah, like pirating actually looks like a pretty sweet gig. And I mean, if you are a pirate, you're like, your options are pretty limited, particularly if you're not on the high seas. I mean, you've got DVD piracy, CDs and whatnot, all that. And then old-timey Jack Sparrow burying doubloons, swashbuckling and shit type piracy, which also appeals on paper, but imagine doing that, it'd be fucking awful. And then Well, the worst of all, actually, I don't know what's worse, but the Captain Phillips, I'm the captain now style cargo ship bothering Somali pirates. So, I mean, yeah, I'll have the flames in the eyes, please, and the vest and the blacksmith shit. Like, that's a, don't look like a bad way to earn a crust. So, yeah, right, okay, that's it. I'm calling it there, keeping it short and sweet. Like, Danny DeVito. So, thanks for listening. And if you'd like to get in touch, the email address for the show is tidbitspod@protonmail.com. To support the show, there is a PayPal link in the description. And you can also support by giving the show a 5-star rating wherever you're listening. The one I watch is the iTunes one, but you know, wherever you're doing it, that's all kosher. And yeah, recommend to a chum, follow the Instagram, it all helps, and it's going to build our little Tidbits Pod community into a bigger sort of bigger thing. It'd be nice. But yeah, until next time, I'm kind of near the bottom of South Croydon now, in the deep parts of South Croydon. But I'm gonna catch y'all later.
Well, happy new year, guys, and welcome back to Stephen Says.